Healing Word with Bill and Sandy Griffin, bringing hope and healing to our generation. Welcome to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. We have an exciting program today. We're going to be learning about Passover, and we're going to be hearing from Messianic Rabbi and Congregational Leader Howard Silverman from Beth Messiah Congregation. And we're going to be talking about the Passover as it instituted in Exodus 12, right up to the present, how it is celebrated. And the scripture that we have today comes from Luke 22, but I would introduce it. If you had less than 24 hours to live, what would you say to the people you love? How would you say farewell? Jesus shared love and warm conversation with his closest friends and followers at the Passover meal. From Luke 22, coming from the Tree of Life version, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Now Yeshua sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat." Then they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" He said to them, "Behold, when you've entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And with that, he will show you a large upper room fully furnished. Make preparations there." So they left and found just what Yeshua had told them, and they prepared for the Passover. When the hour came, Yeshua reclined at table, and the emissaries with him. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Sandy, would you open us in prayer?
I'd be happy to. Lord, what a great and mighty deliverance. Lord, we celebrate Passover. And Lord, help us to unwrap all that you brought to us, all that through Exodus 12, through Moses bringing the children of Israel out, and Lord, through Yeshua at the Last Supper, at the Passover meal. Lord, help us to see the symbolism. Help us to realize how great and mighty that deliverance was for us who believe. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, come, open our minds and open the Word to us so that we have deeper appreciation, deeper revelation. And we pray for those who don't know you yet to come to saving knowledge of you. We pray that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, our very special guest, Howard Silverman, came to Columbus in 91 as Congregational Leader of Beth Messiah Congregation. He's the past president of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, where he served from 2008 to 2012. So we're very pleased to bring him to you, and he will share with us a little bit about Messianic Judaism, as well as the tradition of the Passover. So welcome to our listening audience, Howard Silverman.
Thank you so much, Bill and Sandy. It's great to be with you today.
This is such a special time of year. I love Passover. I love preparing seders, and I just love all that God did for us at this time. Rabbi Howard, would you help our listeners understand what Messianic Judaism is?
Well, sure. Messianic Judaism is really what we could say Judaism through the lens of the coming of the Messiah. You know, in other words, Messianic Judaism is a way of worship and practice in life, incorporating Jewish worship forms and Jewish traditions in our faith in Jesus, whom we call Yeshua. And so therefore, for example, if you were to visit us, you would see Jewish symbolism, such as a Star of David, a Torah scroll, things of that nature. And we use Jewish worship forms, Jewish liturgy, all filled, of course, with our belief that Jesus is the Messiah.
And the service is very beautiful. We invite our listeners to come and experience it, especially as the Ark is opened and the Torah is paraded around the synagogue, and people honor it by extending their
Bibles,
Bibles, their prayer books, their prayer shawls, just to acknowledge and to love the Word of God and to honor Him. It's so beautiful.
It's a very reverential experience.
Very,
very beautiful.
Well, what's interesting, really so much is not only are we, what I've been saying is, and what we've both been saying is that it's very much like, a normative or traditional service. But of course, the difference is Yeshua himself. And what that also means is the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh that sort of fills up this worship experience.
Yes.
And I think that's what really adds to the reverence, the beauty. It's sort of like experiencing Jewish worship in living color, so
yes.
That's a good way to put it. And I know a lot of our listeners right now are just cocking their heads with Jews that believe in Jesus. How does that work?
Right. That's something that sounds a little different. Well, of course, we know that Jesus lived in Israel, a Jewish place. He was a Jewish person and mm-hmm. fulfilled the messianic prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and his first followers were Jewish believers. And so our modern-day messianic movement is, in a sense, a throwback in a way, to that.
Mm-hmm.
Our message is that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel and the nations. But it's not so much that we're bringing a message to ask Jewish people to change who they are, no. but to receive their Messiah.
Exactly.
Almost.
Exactly. And we have to realize that Yeshua never changed religions.
Right. Nor did he come to start a new one.
Right.
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 He came to be the Messiah of the Jewish people, which is who he is.
Yes.
Rabbi Howard, that's a great place to segue into the appointed feast where it talks about in Leviticus 23. So why is it important, actually, for our listeners, for the church to know about Passover, the Lord's Passover, and the appointed feasts of the Lord?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sandy, because the not only Passover, but all of the holidays depict the life and ministry and death and resurrection of the Messiah in one way or another, and in a very vivid way. Also, when you read about the holidays in Leviticus chapter 23 and elsewhere, other places in the Bible, when we celebrate them in the way that they were intended, they really help us to draw closer to the Lord.
Yes.
You know, for example, if you take Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, what we call the High Holy Days, if we celebrate them and observe them in the way of their intention, that will cause us to repent and to draw closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, celebrating Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles helps us to appreciate the provision of God. And of course, when we come to Passover, we appreciate the salvation that God has provided for us in Messiah Yeshua.
Should the church actually celebrate Passover, or should they just be aware of it?
Well, the word should is interesting.
Yeah.
I think that it's important to be aware of it and to understand that that is the background and underpinning of the message of salvation. And I do believe that it's helpful to celebrate this. I don't think it's mandatory on the church, but I think it's helpful to celebrate it because it's been my experience over all of the years that when people celebrate Passover, they're experiencing something
mm-hmm.
using all of their senses. You know, when you celebrate Passover, you're seeing something, you're hearing something, you're smelling something, you're tasting something. And it really is a tremendous experience of taking something that happened so long ago
mm-hmm.
and bringing it up to the present, and then appreciating all the more what the Messiah has done for us.
And that's the whole point, is it becomes our experience.
Exactly, exactly.
So Howard, share with us where it's celebrated, because it's not just celebrated in the synagogue.
No, that's very interesting. Passover is celebrated at home. It is a home festival, and the way it is celebrated today might be something similar to the feeling of Thanksgiving, where relatives come from far away, and you sit around the big dining room table and have a sumptuous meal, along with remembering the story of the outgoing of our people from Egypt, eating
mm-hmm.
foods that
yeah.
symbolize the bitterness of slavery and the sweetness of redemption. And so it is a marvelous family experience.
Isn't there something special that takes place? It's for people who are celebrating Passover, it's as if they're proclaiming, I was in bondage, I walked through the dry land and came out. I was through Passover. So it becomes, for each person, a valid personal experience. Isn't that right?
Exactly. exactly. It's even part of the liturgy, as you well know. From the Passover Seder itself, we say, I was an idolater, I was in slavery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in a sense, we're retelling the story very much like at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses says, you were there at Sinai.
Yes.
When this was a generation of people that, except for two individuals, was not there Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's transgenerational, really, this celebration. And what, for the Jewish community, what it does is it brings us all together from whatever generation we're from. We are one people.
That's amazing.
And then, of course, as believers in Messiah, we join in the chorus with the rest of the Jewish community in making that statement.
Right.
And the scripture that Bill opened with in Luke 22 tells of Yeshua celebrating the Passover. So we're joining him and those at in Exodus 12. It's an incredible time experience.
It really is.
Tell us, in Luke 22, Yeshua is telling Peter and John to prepare the Passover. So in then and now, what kind of preparations are made?
All right. Well, in that day, of course, it was a little bit different than today. But what I will say is the main difference between Jesus' day and today is the presence of the Lamb. And what I mean by that is when Jesus told his disciples to go and prepare a meal, the main event was eating the Lamb. Now, lamb was eaten all the time, but on this particular day, the lamb had to be sacrificed, and they had to go and get the lamb, and this was an important part of the celebration. So preparing for that meal and preparing that lamb, as well as the other accoutrements around it, was important. Now, today, a little bit differently, because there is no temple, there is no sacrifice, all of the other parts of the celebration of Passover have risen in their importance. Like, for example, when we think about celebrating Passover today, we think about, well, we better have matzah, we better have unleavened bread, and we better have bitter herbs, and a sweet mixture, a pasty sweet mixture representing the making of the bricks that the slaves had to make, and parsley, and things of that nature, all become part of that preparation for the celebration of Passover.
And we also have to prepare our home by removing all leaven.
Yes, absolutely. That is, every Jewish person has great memories of growing up, of removing everything out of the kitchen, you know, all of the leaven products, and everything has to be kosher for Passover, and removing all the bread from the home. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And dusting every corner, too.
Right. So there's a lot of work goes into the celebration of freedom.
and spring cleanup, too.
That's right.
It's very true. But you know what? In our home, I love doing that. It's such a special time. And it's so special to bring people to our table and to do a Seder for them.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Sandy, because inviting people over to your home to celebrate Passover with you really is a marvelous experience, really is.
Set up for us now, what does the table look like?
The table, the centerpiece of the table, if you were celebrating Passover today, would be something that we call a Seder plate. Now, Seder is the name of the meal, and the word Seder means order, or order of service, we might say.
Yeah.
And the Seder plate is a big round plate that has places on it for these different foods that remind us of the bitterness of slavery and the sweetness of redemption. Now, one thing you won't see on the Seder table is a lamb, because, again, lamb is kosher, but because there is no temple, generally speaking, Jewish people outside of the Middle East don't eat lamb, but rather a brisket of beef or chicken or something like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Something else you will see on the table is a special big square-looking bag with three compartments for three pieces of unleavened bread or matzah. And during the meal, we take out that middle piece and we break it. We hide half of it. And children go in search for that hidden piece of matzah. And that plays a great role as we come toward the close of the Seder. People will also see on their table a cup with wine or grape juice in it that we drink from four different times. And these are the important elements that you'll find on your Seder table.
Oh, and then we have the cup of Elijah.
Yes, that's right. So one thing you won't find at the table is everyone taking a seat in every single seat.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be an empty seat at the Seder table. And at that place, there might even be a whole plate of food. But for sure, there will be a cup. That is for Elijah. Now, we might say, well, you know, that begs the question, well, why is there an empty place here, and why is it for Elijah? Because at the very end of your Bibles, in the book of Malachi, it talks about Elijah at the end, coming at the end. And,
mm-hmm.
we even read in the New Covenant of Elijah, like when Jesus was referring to John the Baptist being Elijah, that the belief is that Elijah will come and announce that the Messiah is coming. And so there's a place at the table for Elijah in hopes that he will come and announce that the Messiah is on his way.
I see.
The four cups are very evident in Luke 22 when Yeshua is at the table with the disciples. And he's talking about, it describes how he's taking the different cups. Maybe you could go through what each of those cups represent.
Yes. They come from Exodus chapter 6 in the 6th verse. And it says there, they say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And then in verse 7 it says, then I will take you for my people and I will be your God. So the four cups represent the four phrases where it says, I will bring you out, I will deliver you, I will also redeem you, and then the fourth one, I will take you for my people. So it's very interesting that in the New Covenant, when we read about Jesus taking the cup, it's the third cup, and that is the cup that references, I will also redeem you. And so he was talking about the redemption that he would provide.
Also within the service, the youngest person has four questions that they ask and get answered.
Yes, that's right. And that is a real highlight of the celebration. Children participate all the way through the Seder because the idea is that we're passing down this great story, this great truth,
yes,
from generation to generation. And so traditionally, the youngest child asks four questions under the heading of, why is this night different from all other nights? And they ask about, just very briefly, on all other nights, we eat leavened bread or matzah. On this night, why do we eat only matzah? On all other nights, we eat vegetables and herbs of any kind. Why do we eat bitter herbs? Why do we dip the herbs twice? And why do we sit in a reclining position? These four questions symbolize, in a sense, a child asking a parent, why are we doing all of this?
Yes.
And then after that comes the answer that's explained in the whole course of the dinner.
The answer is the scriptural basis of the Passover.
Really?
Yes, that's right. In fact, it says right after in the booklet called the Haggadah that we use to follow this Seder service, right after the four questions, the phrase is, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt.
Yes.
That's the very next thing that's said,
mm-hmm,
and beginning the story of the outgoing of our people from Egypt.
How did Jesus celebrate it at that Last Supper?
Well, that's very good. First of all, we need to remember that the Last Supper was indeed a Passover Seder. When you read the Gospel of John, for example, in chapter 13, there we read toward the very beginning of the meal, Jesus had them remove their sandals and he washed their feet.
Yes.
It's very interesting because toward the beginning of the celebration of Passover, there's a tradition of people washing their hands. So to denote purity and of the leader washing his hands in particular at the beginning of the Seder, to denote Levitical purity. So Jesus, rather than washing his own hands, he washed the feet of his disciples, showing humility and love,
mm-hmm,
rather than as if to say, I am the leader of the Seder, by washing his,
yeah,
own hands.
Yeah.
And then the taking of the matzah. In fact, in all of Jewish history, the very first place that we read about the unleavened bread being used in any kind of symbolic or ritual way is in the New Testament.
And
so it's very interesting. And he took the matzah and he related it to his body. When he took that cup, he took that third cup that we take at the Passover Seder. And even the dipping of the sop, many believe, is actually matzah being dipped in the sweet mixture that we eat to remind us that out of the bitterness of slavery comes the sweetness of redemption. So there are a lot of places in the narrative of the Last Supper that we see that the Last Supper was indeed a Passover Seder. And what that means to all of us today and all of our listeners today is that whenever we have communion in church,
yes,
we're actually celebrating this part of the Passover Seder. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that we're engaging in Jewish custom and tradition when we participate in communion.
So when Yeshua said that we would have it again in the kingdom of God, does that mean that we're going to have a Passover meal together?
Well, I think that's really very, very interesting, actually. Because, you know, in the book of Revelation, you read about the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah. Yes.
And also in, I believe, the 26th chapter of Isaiah, you read about a banquet, you know, that will be in that day. And I think that that is, in fact, I have spoken of that as the third Seder.
Yes.
You know,
wow.
That in that day, we'll sit down and we'll have this sumptuous meal with our Messiah, celebrating the fact that, yes, he has completed our salvation and that now we have our resurrected, glorified bodies.
Praise God.
That's an awesome picture.
It really is.
Isn't it? And to relate the marriage supper of the Lamb to the Passover Seder, I think, is very dynamic. And it may be kind of interesting for our listeners to know that when you read the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb quite frequently in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, and where is it? Is it Revelation 15, where it says they sang the song of Moses and of the Lamb?
Right.
Yes.
Great and
right.
Mighty. Oh,
that's right.
My
and all the way through, we read about the Lamb, and you can even look at the judgments of the book of Revelation and relate them to the plagues of Egypt. It's very interesting.
Wow. Mm. Now, that is a whole other program.
Yeah, really.
That's right. Right. That's a whole other program.
Really, really, really.
So at the close of the Passover meal, Yeshua and the disciples went out to the Mount of Olives singing.
Yes.
And they sang from the Hallel.
So yes, they did.
Tell our listeners what the Hallel was and the significance of those words.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that is Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. And it is very significant that when they went out, they sang those words because even to this very day, that on every Jewish holiday, we sing those words. And in a sense, it has a very many messianic overtones. And we may be familiar, you know, with Psalm 118, where it says that in verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
Yeah. Yes.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes, and so on. So certainly we know that that is quoted in the New Covenant, and it relates to the coming of the Messiah. So very, very special that those words are there in the text. In fact, those words in the gospel tells us that, wow, this is authentic. This is what Jewish people would do. And specifically, when you think that the Messiah himself, with his disciples, goes out and sings that, that's very dynamic.
And in Psalm 118, the scripture says that, I will not die, but and Yeshua is singing this, I will not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord.
That's right.
Whoa.
Exactly.
He had the Passover lamb the one night, and then he became the Passover lamb.
Exactly, yes.
Howard, there are those listening right now that are not in saving relationship with Yeshua. Could you lead them in a prayer that would bring them that eternal life and the deliverance that we're celebrating right now?
I'd be honored to. And dear Heavenly Father, God, I do pray for all who are listening today. And I pray for that one person, Lord, who may be experiencing a bondage, Lord, slavery to sin, slavery to attitude, slavery to the flesh. Lord, and I pray, God, that each one would embrace the Messiah, the one who redeemed us from with his blood from the bondage of sin and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Lord, I pray, God, for each one that we might be able to have the blood of the Lamb take away our sins, take away our bondage, and so that we can be redeemed and we can be freed and live for you, Lord. And I do pray that we might even say these words, Lord, I know that I have sinned. I know that I am separated from you. And I repent of my sins. And I receive you, Lord, into my life today. Lord Yeshua, Lord Jesus, be my Messiah. Be my Lord and Savior. And I believe that. And I live forever in you and have eternal life. And I pray in Messiah's name.
Amen. Amen.
Rabbi Howard Silverman, would you share with our listeners where Beth Messiah Congregation is located?
Yes, Beth Messiah is located at 4950 Morse Road in Columbus, just east of Hamilton Road. And our phone number is 614-855-9501. Our services are every Saturday morning at 10:30, and everyone is invited to come.
Okay, and what about a website if people want to just check it out online?
Yes, bethmessiah.org. Wonderful. Simple as that, bethmessiah.org. All the information is there about our learning opportunities, our worship opportunities, fellowship opportunities. We'd love to have your listeners come and take our courses on Monday evenings, come and worship with us on Saturday mornings, and join with us in sharing such a great experience.
And it is a great experience, and we do invite you to come and just have your experience of God broadened.
Broadened, opened up, yes, indeed. We thank you so much for joining us today, Rabbi Howard Silverman.
Thanks so much, Bill.
God bless you.
You've been listening to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio, letting you know that God loves you so very much. And Bill and Sandy do too. Tune in next time.
You've been listening to The Healing Word, a radio outreach of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. The Healing Word is sponsored by the Christian Counseling Center and generous gifts of ministry friends. Visit us at griffincouncil.com. That's GRIFFINCOUNSEL.com. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast or any past broadcast, please go to healingwordradio.com. And thank you for listening.